Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Welcome. This episode is called The Triumphant Return of Mr. Nima Vedati, and that's what we're calling it. Hey,
yes.
Nima.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prodigal son returns. Nima is back.
Kill the fatted tofu.
Kill the what?
Kill the fatted tofu.
Ah, yes. We must sacrifice the tofu to the gods.
Yeah.
Yes. My wife was a vegetarian, so she'd enjoy that.
So where you been and what'd you do?
All over, man. Well, I guess not.
Where are you? Where are you? That's the important part.
Oh, where I'm at. Yeah, it's not where you've been. It's where you're at or where you're going. I'm in Texas, Austin, Texas. I'm staying at my father-in-law's house. I've commandeered the house office to use as my windowless bunker for this podcast. So,
in your father's house or your father-in-law's house?
Father-in-law's house, yeah. Last time the folks heard me, I was in my actual father's house in Salt Lake. In his basement, which did have a window, so it wasn't a windowless bunker either. But once I get back on my feet, we'll have that windowless bunker, and we'll be ready to go with... I guess this is a real Freedom Fiends, but...
This is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You go away, and what did you... You weren't even on the internet for, like, 9 days. What did you come back?
Nah, man. I was literally out in the wilderness. You know, we hiked the Grand Canyon, walked all the way down to the bottom, stayed the night, and hiked all the way back up. I think it was, like, 18 miles, so... More than half of a marathon in the desert, uphill and downhill, which downhill is not easy like it sounds. It's a bitch doing the downhill, too.
Uphill both ways.
Pretty much, yeah. Might as well have been. So we did that, and we just basically drove around the Southwest for a couple of weeks, just doing whatever piqued our fancy. A lot of government parks, a lot of national parks, as they called them. So
thank God for the government for making those parks.
Yeah. My wife, she goes, we were eating lunch, and she goes, you know, I agree with pretty much all of your politics. I really like the national parks, though. She didn't say that there needs to be a state to do it. She says, you know, maybe there doesn't need to be a government to do it, but I'm happy that somehow these were preserved.
Well, actually, they were there before there was a government.
Exactly, yeah. The government acts like they created the national parks, but no, nature did that, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, on a lot of the tour guides and the ranger guides, they'd be like, you know, before this, some of this was private land, and the private landowners would hurt the land, and it'd be awful. They'd steal the petrified rocks.
Really?
And, oh my, yeah. That
really?
On
like
quite
they
a
put
few
like
occasions.
Public high school type indoctrination in the the docent's lecture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. Completely, yeah. And they say, you know, our job is to protect this for you, and we've done a good job. It's for your enjoyment. I guess one of the
Did you go, that is so square for the whole group?
I should have. No, I was just in vacation mode, man. I wasn't in my let's fight the state. I was taking a literal break, you know, just enjoying myself. But the thing is, They go on all this stuff about how this is for your enjoyment. It's for the people. But it's public ownership, right? So if somebody privately owned something that was part of a national park or near it, because that's the other thing, is they have these imaginary lines for the national parks. And so you might have similar landscape or similar resources just on the other side of the line. And if somebody owns that, the government doesn't think there's anything wrong with doing something, but they still say things like, you know, before this, this could have been private ownership. It could have been a horrible thing. They would have destroyed it. And our job is to protect it for your enjoyment, for the people. And that's what we're doing. And we're really good at our job. And I'm thinking, well, what if it's to somebody's enjoyment to buy the land and do something else with it? What about their enjoyment?
Speaking of arbitrary lines, didn't someone write an article about how there was like a 2-square-mile part of Yellowstone that was like where Wyoming meets Idaho meets Montana or something? And there was like a legal questionable gray area no man's zone there where like someone said it would be legal to kill someone there because there was no jurisdiction for it.
I don't know. I hadn't heard that, but yeah, I guess that just goes back to the whole imaginary line thing. And one of the other things, we went to Vegas for a night, which we did not enjoy Vegas as much as our more nature-based trips. But my wife was like, you know, doesn't that just show how ridiculous their hand is to say, okay, so gambling and prostitution is immoral and because it's illegal on this side of the border. But as soon as you cross this imaginary line, then anything goes. It's A-okay. I mean, in both cases, nobody gets hurt. So why can't people look at that and say, hey, maybe it is ridiculous that these things are illegal in the other states?
Yeah. And in Austin, Texas, marijuana is given out in public school with the lunches. And in Hudspeth County, they give you the electric chair for it.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess there's not a problem with different areas having different standards. I mean, you know, we call ourselves anarchists, but to a certain extent, we're more panarchist. You know, we think you should be able to choose the government you want. I personally believe it shouldn't be tied to geography. I think that is such an old paradigm, and with things like the internet, we don't need to use geography as the only way we're connected as a society. I mean, we're connected to anybody in the world that we want. So why not be able to choose things based on our own personal preferences? Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com.
Worms.
So
you went away for a couple weeks and were in peace and love and nature with your wife and no internet.
I was, and I come back and you made a mess, man.
I made a mess.
It's like opening my door and the dog tore up the
trash. I
can't
leave. Oh, I left the children alone and I came back and there's spaghetti everywhere. There's right, worms. Right. They opened a can of worms and the worms are wiggling at everybody or at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into
you said it was beyond pod beef. You started to call it a pod war, but
pod beef is a joke, man.
Yeah.
I mean, pod beef is when I say like, oh, Lou Rockwell, he's 108. Then we move on to the next sentence.
Yeah. I think Ian characterized it best.
Spat.
Free Talk Live when he called it a spat.
A spat. Yeah. The picture I used I uploaded it to a Freedom Fiends last night, edited out all the ads and everything, but left all the words intact. And
yeah,
I used a picture.
It looks like cats choking.
It's two cats like on their back feet, like boxing. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get too much into that.
You already
said you're done with it. You said your office now considers the matter closed.
Yes, which is funny because that's what lawyers put at the bottom of like the last bill. You know, when they send you a bill and they're done. Basically,
oh, right.
There's a reason for that. It's so people can't say, "Well, my lawyer says," because someone's literally only your lawyer while you have him hired, or if you have him on retainer. But you know, a lawyer that has worked for you before is not your lawyer. So they put that in there. Our office now considers this matter closed.
Right.
It's their way of saying, I am not your lawyer until you hire me again.
Yeah. Yeah. This transaction is done.
Yeah. I'm sure other people will still transact on it. You know, I woke up to someone today saying, "You're a fool and you proved it on Free Talk Live." And I'm like, "Well, that's why I posted it." No, it's yeah. like, you know, I thought we both had points, but I still go back to the original thing of, you know, whatever, man, whatever. Now, see if I try to help people again. See? That's what I'll say. I say, I'm not doing that again. You know, it's funny. It's like we rail on the government 24/7, like on the most powerful, scary, armed, can destroy your life in a blink of an eye entity in the world, yeah. in the universe. And, you know, nothing ever happens. And like, you know, I make a cogent argument about a fellow podcaster and people are calling for my head on a pike.
Were people really calling for your head on a pike?
His people were. My people were saying right on. Well, not just my people and his people, like, you know, my people and people who think, you know, maybe it wasn't good advice and maybe you shouldn't try to represent yourself in felonies, and, you know, his people and people who think you should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I guess what I sort of take away from the whole thing, not necessarily the spat, but the actual arguments, for me, I feel like it's, you don't really want to fight the state on its battlegrounds. I mean, I'm not going to gather an army and march on Washington, D.C. They're going to see me as, you know, an invading army, which I would be. And so I'm not also going to go into a courtroom and try
in
to
Hudspeth
use...
County.
In Hudspeth County.
Which is where Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson got busted for pot in the same county on the same stretch of road. I said right. that before. I thought that was true. I confirmed it this morning. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They definitely have a boner there in Hudspeth County, no matter who you are. And you know, I kind of waffle back and forth on this. Like, I feel like when Lil Wayne, whenever rappers get knocked on, like, a drug charge or a gun charge especially. The gun charge really pisses me off. Like when Lil Wayne got in trouble for having a gun, or T.I., and I feel like, you know, you've got billions, not billions, but you've got millions of dollars. You can't make some kind of argument in court. I mean, guns, that's the law of the land. Can't you just point at the Second Amendment and say not infringed if you made a law that's infringing? So in some cases, I think, yeah, maybe you should go fight the state.
Well, but, you know, I mean, taking the Heller decision to the Supreme Court was done. It took years. It probably took more money than T.I. has. It didn't take more money than Jay-Z has. But, you know, I mean, who wants to sidetrack their career to spend 10 years and $100 million with the chance that it'll get to the Supreme Court? And at this point now, the Supreme Court, with anything similar to Heller, which is what this would be in a way, would be, no, we've already ruled on that. And in Heller, they ruled, you know, I mean, the NRA said it was a victory because it allowed – it proved – proved that there is a personal right to own a gun, and it's not just the militia or the army, you know, not yeah. just the army or whatever. And the Brady campaign said it was a win because there was part of it that said, you know, we can have reasonable restrictions. And they would, you know, if you were carrying without a permit in a state where you can't carry one now and tried to take it to the Supreme Court, it would get to the upper courts or even not that far. I mean, the lawyer, the team of attorneys you assembled would probably say, Heller already decided on this. Localities right. can make yeah. rules, you know?
Yeah. And I guess this kind of does go back to Mark Stevens' thing about how, you know, the judge, any judges – are employed by the state. So it's not really going to be fair no matter what. But at the same time, I guess I'm just skeptical for me personally. I mean, I'm not a listener of Mark Stevens. I don't know what his success rate has been. You've probably looked into that more than I have. All I know is pretty much listening to the Free Talk Live thing and his original advice to Jillian. But I just feel like in my experience with judges, you know, and I have been in a lot of courtrooms, both as somebody going through traffic tickets, which is a different league than this whole Jillian thing, but also as a reporter, being there viewing rape cases, murder cases, big cases of all types, and judges are arrogant pricks for the most part.
Would you say that's more true with judges handling felonies than with traffic court?
I feel like with Traffic Court, it's a different game in the sense that
it's an assembly line, man.
It's an assembly line. Traffic Court, all the times I've been to Traffic Court, you go there, it's the docket. There's, you know, between 50 and 100 people in the places I've been. And they call you up. It's a line, right? They call your name. You go up. You talk to the prosecutor for a few minutes. If you maybe had insurance and they gave you a no insurance, but you had, like, the insurance card at home or in your other car, you can just say, hey, look, I got this insurance. The prosecutor would be like, okay, I'll throw that out. Just pay this. Or, hey, do you want to do defensive driving? All the traffic things I had, you barely even talk to a judge. You know, you hash things out with the prosecutor. Then the prosecutor says, hey, judge, they want to do this. The judge says, okay. The judge might say one, two words, a sentence or two. You know, in big cases, in felony cases, I feel like the judge kind of looks down on you like he's your daddy or your mother, depending on the sex. And they take this air of they're the almighty judge. They're your honor. I mean, that's how lawyers and them have to address them with it. And yeah, it is a fiction. Mark Stevens is right when he says, yeah, it's a fiction. The thing is, it behooves the judge, it behooves the lawyers, everybody in the system to maintain the fiction.
It's a fiction, but it's real. You know, it's like I took sex ed in high school from a priest, and somebody raised their hand in class and said, do you believe in premarital sex? And he thought for a second and said, I believe it exists.
Right,
you know,
right,
and I kind of feel like challenging judges the way that Mark does, or Mark tells people to, and I guess he probably does too, and other people do. I feel like it's not believing the state exists and pretending it doesn't and expecting results according to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the thing is, I mean, and I don't know, I've never seen one of Mark's cases.
Well, you asked about his success rate. He's had a lot of people get traffic tickets kicked, jaywalking tickets kicked, even a couple drunk drivings, but one felony, as far as I know. I mean, he cited a guy in Idaho who got a felony weed thing kicked, That's one, and it ain't Texas. And the law is different in different places, and the attitude of the state is different in different places. Idaho's a pretty laid-back place. They don't like weed. Well, actually, they almost legalized. They almost got medical marijuana there. There was a big push for it, you know. But yeah, I mean, that wouldn't fly in Texas. They wouldn't even talk about it.
I just feel like telling the judge that you have no authority over me. I mean, he does, you know, in that setting, in his courtroom, he does, because if he wanted to, for multitude of reasons, he can say you're in contempt of court. He can put you back in jail. He can stop the proceedings, call you in contempt of court. He does have power there, and I believe it's fictional because I don't think it's legitimate authority. But there's a bailiff there with a gun, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just say, well, this is BS, I'm walking out. You don't have authority over it.
You don't cover your eyes and go, I don't see you, la, 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 and then open your eyes and they're disappeared and you're out in the woods.
Yeah,
you know?
And so, I mean, I'm not throwing shots at Mark Stevens. Again, I don't really know a whole lot about what he does, other than everything I've experienced through this whole spat, as we like to call it. I will say, I kind of play out similar fantasies to the kind of stuff he talks about in my head sometimes. If I think about me going to jail, I think, oh yeah, I'm just going to go tell the judge, you know, F you, the state doesn't have any authority over me. I'm a free person. You know, in my fantasies, it works. I don't know if it would work in real life.
Well, any kind of talk like that, I mean, that's beyond what Mark was suggesting, which was asking the judge, you know, who do you work for and can I get a fair trial?
Right.
You know, saying I'm a free person, you don't have any authority over me, is beyond that. And that's like any kind of sovereign citizen statement to the state. Basically, if you say to the state, don't tread on me, and they're ignoring you before that, suddenly they want to tread on you.
Yeah. But our office now considers the matter closed. So we went off on that closed matter.
I will say one funny thing about the interview, and then we'll go on. We were supposed to go on at the top of the show, and I got on there, and like I was on the mumbles, Mark was on the mumbles, and Ian forgot about us for an hour. So we basically, like, you know, it was like taking a pot that's boiling over and leaving it on the stove for an extra hour. I was calm, but like I think it stirred Mark up a little more. I don't know, maybe he was stirred up already, but Ian left us to stew in our libertarian juices on simmer for an hour while he talked about the heat waves shutting down, like, you know, town, the country, basically. Yeah. Maybe no one heard that episode because, you know, a lot of people were without power. So
Yeah, I don't know about that. The thing about these heat waves thing. We woke up one morning in Las Vegas.
So we've closed this matter, right?
The matter's closed.
You're segueing out, and we're done.
I'm
talking
segueing
about
out.
It.
I said, speaking of heat waves.
Okay, let's segue out of this forever.
Forever. I woke up in Vegas and turned on the TV, and they had their Washington, D.C. correspondent. I think it was CNN or Fox, one of the big cable national newses. And he was in Maryland doing, you know, a weather report on – not a weather report, but one of those mix between weather and news. I remember I had a news director who always says, weather drives news. If it snows and people can't drive to their house, do a story about it. Because whenever there's weather, people turn to the news a lot of times to see what's going on, what's next. And he was doing his little bit, and he was like, and the heat wave is still rolling on, unbearable heat in the mid-90s. And I'm sitting there, I've been in the desert in over 100-degree heat, hiking it, and I'm like, man, I would wish for mid-90s right now. Like, the bottom of the Grand Canyon is 20 degrees hotter than the rim. At the bottom of the Grand Canyon, it was 108 degrees. After you hike the 8 miles or the 7 miles to get down to the bottom. I don't know what they're talking about heat waves, but after driving through Arizona and all that, just get over it. Drink lots of water.
There's forest fires in Wyoming. I mean, everyone's hearing about the ones in Colorado because there's 17 of them all over the state. But there's a prairie fire in Wheatland, about 60 miles as the crow flies from here. And it's a lot better today. The wind shifted and there's wind and it's not as hot. I mean, it is still blazing there, but we were getting so much smoke for two days ago that, like, I was having trouble breathing. I wasn't letting Charlie out in the yard. Birds were running into the window, which is supposed to be bad luck, but I'm not, I will say this about Mark Stevens. This is better that's closed. I sat down to start to write him an apology at one point, and a fucking bird flew into my window. I've had them fly into my window a lot, but never like when I'm at the window, like I see it flying at my face and it hits the window. Uh-huh. And I looked out and it was on the ground kind of gasping. And then, and I was like, well, it's supposed to be bad luck. I'll just keep doing this. I'm not superstitious. The same bird got up about a minute later and flew into the same window, same spot in the same window again. And then I went out in the yard and looked at it, and it was standing, looking up at my window with its mouth open, gasping. Mm. It looked really creepy. Charlie Cat went out and looked at it and sniffed it and went back in. She's old. But I was like, maybe that's just not a sign, but in my head, I'm just going to go, okay, well, let's put this on hold for a while.
Fair enough.
So I have a pod beef about Lou Rockwell.
Are you starting another pod beef?
I'm not starting a pod beef. It's a Ben Quaker told me that he was listening to Lou Rockwell yesterday, and he was talking to some lady, and they were talking about how the Liberty Movement is growing and getting great, and there's all these podcasts and radio shows and books and and speakers and touring stuff and events and Porkfest. Yeah. And then he said, like, you know what's really missing, though? There aren't any libertarian movies out there. I'm really disappointed in that. And we're like,
I guess there's plenty, but maybe what he meant is Hollywood movies.
I didn't hear it, but whatever it was, Ben said he was screaming at his radio going, guns and weed, guns and weed. But Lou knows about guns and weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he just doesn't like it enough to consider its existence.
Could be that. Maybe that's just not the angle they go for.
Hip hop probably harms his soul somehow.
Although Lou Rockwell posting "I Own Me" on the Lou Rockwell blog is what got us in contact with each other.
Yeah, so he doesn't hate hip hop. It was him, not someone on his blog, right? It was him that posted it.
Yeah, yeah, he posted it, and then Stephen Kinsella had a repost about it, where he said, "Oh, and he's from Houston, so he's my homie."
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
I don't know if maybe – well, see, the thing about Lou Rockwell blog is they're pretty open-ended about this kind of stuff they post. I feel like they posted a nice wide variety of different liberty and liberty-related type stuff. I'm not sure why guns and weed wasn't something that they wanted to talk about, but who knows? Nothing that we would have the information to really know why they made that call.
Yep. And that wasn't a beef. That was a comment.
a comment. Yeah, that is far from beef.
I was talking to Ben Quaker today. I forgot to take the trash out. I almost never do that, but I got up and got on the phone with Ben, and like, you know, I used to take it out the night before, but I heard the trash truck coming, and I'm like, gotta go, I'll call you back, and ran and like got it out as they were pulling up, which is good, because I don't want to have, in this heat, I don't want to, it's already stinking in the garage. I don't want to have it for another week baking. It's going to be 100 today too.
Nice.
Well, let's save this file.
Okay.
With these important thoughts about garbage and beef. beef garbage.
Beef right. Garbage.
So since you got some more stuff about your travels, I'm going to author some DVDs here. Go ahead, man.
Are you really going
to
do that?
I'm kidding. I'm going
to do it. I need you to bounce the stuff off of where it's
I'll team, bounce man. Stuff off you. I'll bounce stuff off you, man.
Well, one of the things, like I said, you know, a lot of the park rangers do give you sort of an innate sense of government propaganda around it. And so do sort of the trail guides. We were reading, because we took a trail called Bright Angel back up. And in the trail guide, it sort of gives the history of it. And apparently, before it was a national park, an entrepreneur actually did a lot of work on the trail. He sort of staked mining claims along the trail so that he says, okay, well, I own the traveling rights through this down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And he would charge people. I think it was like a dollar. It was some fee. And they said, you know, it's pretty much comparable to the money you pay now, because you pay $25 to get into the whole park. And he would give people tours through the grandeur of the nature. And he was actually opposed to the federal government coming in and taking over the Grand Canyon and protecting it as a national park. And in the literature that the park gives, it says that there was concern that the guy, the private entrepreneur who had built this trail, there was concern that he would have a monopoly over the Grand Canyon. So instead, the federal government stepped in to protect the Grand Canyon.
By making a monopoly.
By making a monopoly. How come nobody gets that?
That's how they do everything. They do get it.
How come nobody gets that? That the government is a monopoly. If you're trying to protect a monopoly or prevent a monopoly from existing.
But people think the government's benevolent. They think, well, they should. Someone's going to have a monopoly. It should be the government because we're the government. People believe that.
Because people believe that people are the government.
Ha! The government is the government. The government's like an amoeba. The state anywhere is – and I want to stress that when we say the government, we're not really talking just about the United States government.
We're talking about the state, the concept.
The state, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the state and government, so we've talked about the difference. The government is the buildings, the salaries, the rules, the laws, the people with guns, the cages, the buildings where they make the laws. The state is people's horizontal enforcement that allows it to continue.
Right.
And
the government as we see it today is the result of the state. It's a result of the thing in your brain that tells you that it's okay for a certain subset of people to control you and other people.
You know what I just thought about Mark Stevens?
The matter was
this is a compliment. This is a compliment.
All right.
The idea, I think the idea of doing this kind of stuff is like if enough people do it, it's kind of like the Free State Project. Like if you move enough people to a place, you can make it happen. And if enough people stand up to the state, it'll collapse. But it's like, do you want to be one of the people, you know, it's like if we throw enough of our soldiers in front of their machine guns, they'll run out of ammo. Mm. You know, that's how it comes down to on a personal level, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess part of what he does, he seems to do is.
I thought this matter was closed, Nima.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And then you brought it up.
It's like herpes.
It does seem like a way of showing that your consent is
not saying Mark is like herpes, saying that the situation is like herpes. I want to be clear.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is important to withdraw your consent. It's just for me personally, I'd rather do that not on their home field when they have the home field advantage, not in a courtroom where the judge has a bailiff and a cage that he can throw me in easily.
Yeah, and a lot of people called me a statist for saying like I wouldn't stand up, you know, in Hudspeth County to the judge and do these things. And I guess it's like. People who believe that that's the way to do it, a lot of those people probably would, you know, and they'd probably end up in prison. It's like, you know, someone compared Mark Stevens to Martin Luther King to me. And, you know, the idea of nonviolent resistance, getting arrested for a cause, it's like, it's such a sacrifice, you know, and if people are willing to do it on their own, I'm for it. I just, I guess you could call me a pussy. I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. And I would not recommend it to my friends. And I was upset about being being recommended to a friend who was vulnerable and scared. But, you know, it's tough, man. Would you do it? In Hudspeth County, if you get arrested for pot, would you try to get an attorney, or would you go in and tell the judge things that are true? Like, you don't, I can't get a fair trial.
I don't know. I'm not in that position. Thank God. I don't know what I would do.
It wouldn't end the drug war if you did.
I go over and over and over in my head. And like I say, I do have fantasies where I go, where I get arrested for pot or some other non-crime, and I go in and I convince the judge and I convince the jury. The thing is, I don't really think it works like that. One other thing about juries too is juries seem to be fairly statist most of the time. I mean, they're people that showed up for their jury duty. I think a lot of the way, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I was kind of under the impression that part of the way they initially choose you for jury duty is through your voter registration. Do you know if that's true or not?
They use different ways, different places. Sometimes they use the phone book, voter registration, driver's licenses, different ways of doing it.
I feel like using voter registration or driver's licenses, that's a big selection factor in picking, you know, that's the first hoop you have to jump.
Yeah, it's like you vote.
If you register to vote, you're obviously not an anarchist.
Yeah. That's really a good point, man.
I guess when it comes down to it, I'm not confident in my ability to convince either a judge or a jury that I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah. I think you're right about the voter registration being one of the main ways, though, because I've heard of people who are not anarchists but kind of just don't give a shit, who don't want to go to jury duty, and they're like, you know, why don't you register to vote? You know, when people try to register them to vote, I've heard of people saying, like, because I don't want to get called for jury duty. You know, so they're lazy statists.
Lazy statists.
Yeah.
Which is kind of redundant, but.
Yeah. You know, the thing about, like, getting arrested for cause, when you think about, like, some of the classic examples of stuff where things were changed, like Rosa Parks, you know, refusing to go to the back of the bus. What a lot of people don't know is that Rosa Parks did that intentionally and had like lawyers and people with bail and like a team backing her, you know?
Right.
It was kind of like the Heller case, but not as extravagant. Like Heller, you know, they went through like 500 possibilities and then whittled it down to 8 and then studied those 8 and worked with them and figured out who'd be best for it. And they picked a black older man who was a retired cop, you know, as their test case, who had no crimes. You know, it wasn't somebody running an agorist business who says, you know, F the man every time they get a chance, you know,
it was part of the grander strategy.
Yeah. And they picked a black guy cause they didn't want it. You know, I don't know, man, it helped, you know, it helped. And it was DC, which is predominantly black. So,
yeah,
but,
this is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what I'd do. Sometimes I think maybe I'd just try to get to where the state can't get me, but
well, there's an interesting interview. There's an interesting interview coming up on the Anarchy Gumbo soon that I recorded with someone who is who's an American who's not in America, and it's called, I won't even say his name. You'll hear it when it comes out, but it's called like so and so says F you to Stacey Litz from Central America.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I get the feeling because I'm just I'd be so upset if I got knocked on some kind of bullshit drug charge. Like, I would be tempted to go in and tell the judge it's bullshit, but I don't really think it'd help a whole lot.
You know, Ben Quaker has a big he's talked before about martyrs, and you know, he points out that the classic martyrs, you know, are generally like Jesus, Martin Luther King, and Gandhi.
Yeah.
And they were like the most successful people in history with being martyred. And yeah, all of the things that they were martyred for got corrupted, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that Gandhi wants India having a nuke threatening Pakistan?
Yeah. I don't think he does. No. Do you think Jesus wants American soldiers wearing crosses and murdering brown children in the Middle East?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, no. Yeah, I agree with your rhetorical.
Right.
I'm tired, man.
You tired? The pod war? Are you war weary?
I'm war weary. I'm limping back from the war. Oh, Dick Heller was not black. I'm sorry. You know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the guy in Chicago that fought the city of Chicago. They had a test case there too.
Yeah.
That was like a really old black guy that lived alone in a bad, bad neighborhood. Like he'd lived in the same house for decades. Like he owned it when it was a good neighborhood and it went to shit and he bought a gun and, got in trouble for it. And I think he was a soldier, you know, a veteran.
Here's the other thing.
I'm watching Two Birds Screw on the phone line. It's doing bringing my DSL and speaking through.
Good. Yeah.
They're little birds.
Here's the other thing too. I feel about the state and courts and stuff is, I don't really think the state plays fair. I think they do what's
you
their
think?
Benefit.
Really?
Well, I want to
news
bring
flash,
that up because
newsflash, people, the state might not play fair.
Well, here's the thing. You bring up the Chicago case, right? It's not like having a gun is easy in Chicago now. I mean, the city council just went through and created a whole new layer of hoops for you to jump through. The state's always going to try to get what it wants, no matter what, even if it gets beat in a specific court case. Even if it's your personal thing, like I was saying in the last cast that I was actually on, I have a very good friend of the family who had started a massage therapy business, got raided by the cops. The cops tried to knock her for practicing massage without a license, of all things, and solicitation, basically calling her a prostitute. And she said, "Here's my license," and they still didn't throw it out. Supposedly the cop who was pursuing it didn't show up and it was like a mistrial, but for some reason these things are still on her record. She's still in Utah. If they do a background check, it'll still say she had charges for solicitation. So she still doesn't get satisfaction. Even though she didn't lose a court case, she didn't go to jail, get thrown in a cage, she's still screwed. The state will screw you no matter what.
You know what's really sick and twisted about the Heller thing was before that was decided, like when it was in the court or headed to the court, some gun blogger noted that this guy named Sugarman, I forget his first name, applied for an FFL and got it for the District of Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because the thought was like, well, you know, if guns are going to be legal in D.C., technically someone's going to have to sell them. This Sugarman guy was a member of like Brady Handgun Control or one of those groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically what happened was they did a preemptive runaround of like getting him an FFL. So somebody in DC, you know, and he probably sold one gun to somebody else in their group or something. So he could say, I'm selling guns. So they could say guns are available in DC. There was some newscaster on Fox or somewhere who did a piece where she legally got a handgun in DC to show the hoops to jump through. It was
nice.
Fucking unreal. You know, in my town right now, okay, my wife's at work. I don't have a car. I have some money. Right now, I could hang up on you, get in a taxi, go to a store, buy a gun, and be back at my house in an hour.
Here's the question.
It took her 6 months, man.
I've never bought a handgun from an actual retail location. Can I buy a handgun and have them just give it to me? Is there? There's no kind of waiting.
Depends on the
like
state.
That.
There is
in Texas.
You do have to fill out. No, I think you could just walk out that day in Texas.
Okay.
But God help you if you've got a tiny amount of hashish. Yeah, you have to fill out an FBI background check, and they run the check on the spot. Like they,
I've done that. I've passed that twice, so I'm still good on that, I think.
Where have you done that?
For some long guns in Washington.
Yeah. It's the same with a handgun in Western-type states and a few other states.
Okay.
You know, I mean, basically, I believe the states where you can just walk out that day with a gun are like a bunch of them. You know, mostly like the Mountain West, a lot of the South, probably Vermont.
Yeah.
Probably New Hampshire.
Here's another hoop that I'm going to have to jump through.
And California, it's a 10-day waiting period. In California, I bought a 22 in a shop. Actually, I bought the gun that I sold you in a shop. It's registered to me, so don't ever murder anybody because they'll come after me. But it's I bought it, I paid for it, and I had to wait 10 days and come back to get what I paid for.
Mm. Ugh.
And I had to fill out a quiz. In addition to the FBI background check, I had to fill out a quiz. It was kind of like taking the written driving test. It was similar questions, but for guns and gun safety.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like you said in that Entourage episode when they're trying to buy the guns for self-defense and they have to wait. There's smaller hoops, though. There's hoops in Wyoming that threw me for a loop. When I was in Wyoming and I wanted to buy myself a cheap little High Point, and they wouldn't let me because I did not have a Wyoming driver's license. So I had to go down to the I didn't want to go to the DMV. That's an infringement, isn't it? I have to go to the damn DMV when I want to buy a gun.
Although I'll say that the Wyoming DMV is a lot less of an infringement than the California DMVs. And, you know, people say, oh, it's all infringement. But you go wait to get something done in a Los Angeles or San Francisco DMV. And, you know, you make an appointment and spend 3 days and it's wall-to-wall people and it's hot and everyone looks like they're about to punch each other. And, you know,
Now I'm going to have to do it in Texas. And in Texas, we don't have DMVs. We have, I think they're called DPS, Departments of Public Safety. And I'm going to have to go do it there. And their driver's licensing office in Texas are a lot more close to California than they are to Wyoming.
Here, I was blown away by it. I mean, people are going to say statist because I'm praising a tyranny. But as tyrannies go, like the one here, we were in and out in 10 minutes. It was really pleasant. It was well air conditioned. There weren't a lot of people. We just walked in. We did make an appointment. And the line was in chairs, you know, and everyone was polite and didn't try to cut.
The Wyoming plantation has air conditioning and chairs. All slaves move to Wyoming if you want to ease your life.
No, but if all slaves move to Wyoming, it won't be like that because they'll want more protections.
Right.
Don't move to Wyoming. It's horrible here. An antelope ate my baby.
Nice.
So are you? Do you have to pay a bunch of fines to get your driver's license in Texas?
Maybe. That's what I'm worried about. Oh, yeah.
Are you going to go to jail? Are you going to walk in? They're just going to throw you in jail?
Maybe. Although I guess I'm not too scared of it now because I don't have a day job. So whatever. Throw me in jail. I don't care.
Should we have some more podcasts in the can before you go to the DMV?
Maybe.
People are sick of just me, man. There were a couple people that said, like, I'm never listening to The Fiends again because I hate you now, Michael. And I said, well, anybody's free to edit me out and just put up episodes with just Nima and call it the Nima Fiends.
Nima talking to dead air. Listen now.
Yeah, they could just put farting sounds where I was speaking.
Nice. No. I don't think I'll go to jail. It's weird because they don't make it easy, right? I mean, I wish there was some website I could go to that would show me any and all violations I've had in Texas because I've had so many, I can't keep track of them. We had a listener ask us, you know, why we're kind of like, ugh, about Texas or worried about Nima going to Texas and saying that when I drive through all these Western states, I'll be fine until I get to Texas. It wasn't a knock against Texas per se, especially not Texas, like the people and the geography. I love Texas. Texas is awesome. That's why I'm moving back. But I have had a lot of very personal encounters with law enforcement here, and they don't seem to like me very much. I've had, you know.
You look Middle Eastern, too.
I don't know what it is, but I've paid a grip of money, like over $4,000. I've lost count. Like,
you also look like you don't give a fuck, too. And like you carry yourself with an air of freedom. I carry myself with an air of like, don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me. I'm armed. You carry yourself with like, hey, man, it's cool. And I'm armed, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty good at talking to cops. I guess I've gotten better over the years. So maybe there's some stuff out there from earlier that I don't remember. and just didn't pay. And the other thing about Texas is it's a big state, and there's a lot of different police departments. I think there may be one police department that I never paid, and I don't think that they had – I remember going there once because I was going to pay them, and for some reason they were like, oh, you have to get this form from this.
Do you know any cops?
Personally?
Yeah.
Not now. I was –
because I've actually heard of people doing this. Like, yeah, I don't think it's legal, but I've heard of people having their cop buddy run a background check on people.
Ah.
I know that I was dating a chick in Texas. You know, she was an adult. I mean, we were both like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, but we were getting serious. And when her mother heard about it, her mother had her buddy who was a cop run my background check, like to see if I was, you know, horrible or anything. Actually, the girl asked me, she said, my mother wants to have her cop buddy run a background check on you. What's your full name, place of birth, and social security number? And I'm like, seriously? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, you know, basically like, my mother is never going to trust you unless you do this. I'm like, okay.
You know, there was a taxpayer-funded thing in the county I left in Washington, in Franklin County. You could go to the county courthouse, and they had a public kiosk, and you could just type in somebody's first and last name, maybe their middle name. There were a few different identifiers you could choose from, and it would run a background check on them. So you could do it, and they pitched it as, oh, you could check on your babysitter or, you know, anybody you want to check up on, you could do this.
They had a kiosk for this in what building?
In the courthouse.
Did that get challenged for any kind of like privacy stuff?
I think they probably had some kind of privacy. There might have been some things that weren't available on it. It might have redacted that.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed Silver Dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends Silver Dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says Silver Dime Cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I think most places you could go into a DMV or, you know, California, you can go into the DMV and find if you have warrants and pay. It used to be $5. It's probably $25 now, and get a printout of it. And I don't think they arrest you on the spot. I know that friends of mine in San Francisco, when I was in AA, a lot of people who got sober for a while and didn't want to like do whatever they were doing for a living when they were doing drugs, like, you know, working at the strip club or whatever, because they'd be more likely to relapse, right, or dealing drugs, would get jobs as cab drivers. And part of being a cab driver is you have to bring in a DMV printout. I never heard of any, and I heard of people like saying, I can't get a license. I found out I still have this warrant. And like the guy wasn't in jail. He came back and showed me the printout, you know? So
we have those here, but they're in Texas at least, but I find them to be incomplete. Like I've had to do that a few times and been really worried that there's going to be a bunch of stuff on it. And then there's like nothing on it. And I'm like, hey, bank error in my favor. I'll take it. You know, this will make it easier to get a job. But when you're trying to pay off all the people that think you owe them money because you drove a little bit faster than a sign said, that can be a little bit more difficult. Like I was saying earlier, there's one place I vaguely remember that I had sped, and then I went into their police department to try to pay them. For some reason, I couldn't pay them that day, and I saw their filing system wasn't even a computer. It was like a box, like a glorified shoebox.
A file, files, literally.
Yeah. And they flipped through it and found my thing, and I was like, I'll go back and pay you, thinking to myself, I'm not paying these people because it's not going to be in the system. But
I'm sure one of our new listeners is saying, these guys are so statist. They claim to be anarchists, but I'm a real anarchist. I'm driving around with hand-lettered license plates that say, I have a right to drive. God bless anyone who tries that. I mean, I have respect for someone that would try to do that. But
I drove Okay, so I was out of Texas for almost 4 years. I drove with my original Texas plates and my original 2008 Texas registration and did not change them until a month before I left Washington.
And a cracked windshield for a while.
Right. No, windshield's still cracked. I'm not changing that.
Do you have to have a vehicle inspected there like you do in California to get a license?
You do, and I hope – see, and that's why it's such an infringement, right? So I want to go buy a handgun. They're going to say, oh, you got to get a driver's license. I'm going to go try to get the driver's license. They're going to be like, oh, you have to pay $500. I'm going to go pay the $500, come back. They're going to be like, oh, you have to get an inspection. I'm going to go try to get the inspection. They're going to say, oh, well, this windshield is cracked. You don't pass the inspection. You have to go pay $200-$300, get a new windshield. All that money is a freaking infringement, right? If my total to go get the necessary document I need to buy a gun is $800, how is that not an infringement? That's a motherfucking infringement. If there is, if you can define the damn word, paying $800 to the government to get a gun because I need a piece of plastic that has my picture and my name on it. That's a freaking infringement. You know what I might do? And this is what I did in Wyoming to get around it. In Wyoming, I wasn't confident that if I tried to get a driver's license, they weren't going to pull up some warrant or something from Texas and tell me to pay it and not give me a driver's license. So in Wyoming, I went to the DMV and actually just got a picture ID.
Huh.
I might do that in Texas because it's a pretty painless process. You go through, they take a picture.
But can you do that if you have – it's from the same people that give the driver's licenses, right?
Yeah, if it's in the same state, it might not work. I figured it would work in a different state because with a picture ID, they probably won't do any kind of background check.
Don't be so sure, man. Post-9/11, post-Patriot Act, young Middle Eastern guy with a beard, they are not going to fucking let you get away with that in Texas. I would bet dollars to cat food pellets.
Fuck it. Maybe I'll just go to a gun show. You don't need an ID at a gun show, do you? Or an in-state ID?
I don't know, man. I'm not gonna. I don't give legal advice. And anyone who would take legal advice from a podcast whose motto is "tasing you with liberty" since 2011 is not wise.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna try a few things and try to avoid getting a driver's license as long as possible. And I'll probably have to do it for a job. Man, the state just makes everything freaking harder.
And here I feel like telling you, oh, just bend over and do it because, you know.
Which is what I'm going to have to do anyway. I'm just pissing in the wind. Eventually, I'm going to have to bow down so I can eat food and buy things. It just pisses me off.
You need the mark of the beast to buy food.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in the Bible. It is. That's what the mark of the beast is one of the things of it is you will need the mark of the beast to purchase food.
Yeah, yeah. All economy.
So speaking of that, did you see the QR scan codes that we made for Guns and Weed and Freedom Fiends?
I heard about them. I did not see them.
What are they? QC codes? QR codes? Quick read. QR. Yeah. You didn't see them?
Like, are you asking me if I saw a bunch of pixels in a square?
I made – Vaslav and I made scan codes for – Guns and Weed, Freedom Fiends, freedomfiends.cz, a couple other of our projects that, you scan them. People make stickers out of them and stuff. Like, you scan them with a cell phone, smartphone, and it'll take you to the website.
Okay, so it's got some kind of interesting image other than just the barcode.
It's the same concept as a barcode, but it's square, and instead of just vertical lines, it's like different size boxes in it.
Yeah. Yeah, but are you asking me if I saw the actual code that's the different
size boxes? Did you see the images?
Oh, no.
You're on a computer.
I'm on a computer. If you want to email them. Did you email them to me?
Go to libertarianpunk.com and look at the second post down.
All right.
The one below my now famous, we don't speak of it anymore, dare not speak its name. The post that dare not speak its name.
Spoke a bunch of times.
Yeah. I'm done. No, I said that. And just because I'm done doesn't mean everyone else is done. They're going to...
Humans. Nice.
But it's the longer people hammer on it, it's gonna drive up the Google rankings when people search his name. The Streisand effect.
Subscribe to avoid tyranny. I love it. All right. Yep.
I'll link these in the cast.
I'll probably print some of these out and go throw them on all the bulletin boards at UT campus.
Excellent. There's higher res ones. If you go at the top, it says sticker street sheet layouts in the folders here. And you go to the folder and one of these is an image and one's a readme, but there's a couple of folders there. And in the folder, there's like a PDF of a, like 8-up sheet or something like that.
Huh. Nice. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, if you're a loyal fiend, go ahead and print those out. I'm going to do that myself. And
do I need to send you? I don't need to send. I don't need to send you the PDFs. You can find them, right?
Yeah, I'm yeah. sure I can find them.
Yeah,
I'm savvy enough when I try. I've just, man, I've been so not trying. I've been enjoying the hell out of myself for the past 2 weeks.
See, I couldn't do that. I'd be like, DJ, we have to get to a hotel. I have to get on the internet, and there's something going wrong on the internet, and I have to upload it. And blah. Respect. Really.
You don't think you could just let go for a couple weeks?
No.
I must fight. Must fight the state.
Must fight the state. I was like that before. I was fighting the state.
Yeah. Although the state was everywhere on my trip. One of my favorite side trip that we took was to White Sands, New Mexico. There's a place called White Sands National Monument, and it's actually I'm not sure if it's inside of the missile testing range or like right next to it, but it's in the same area that they like tested the first atomic bomb, and they do a bunch of missile tests. They had a big sign that says "Where America's missile program was born," you know, all proud like. and they actually closed down the National Monument, I think, once or twice a week because of the missile testing.
I got something awesome. I'm sorry. Anthony Bouchard for Wyoming Senate.
Okay. Do you want me to finish or do you want to tell
us? I want you to finish. Sorry, man.
Anyway, despite all the government and the actual missiles that could be flying near you, White Sands National Monument is amazing. It is a basin of giant dunes of pure white sand. It's actually gypsum. So it's a mineral.
It's like blazingly white, isn't it? Like sugar sand. White.
It's like snow. Like in the pictures, people are like, "Oh, that looks like snow." No, that is sand. That is gypsum mineralized on the bottom of a basin, and it's like a beach that goes on forever without any water. And if you go there and you sit, you go to the right dune. You know, you go sort of away from the people. You can just sit there and see nothing but white sand, giant dunes of it forever. And then the New Mexico sunset. It's like the most solitude I think I've ever felt. Like even more solitude than the Grand Canyon because it's nothing but white sand as far as the eye can see. And we had a blast. You can actually sled down the sand. You can play in it. It was so much fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. Although it's a federal offense if you take some of the sand out of there.
Really?
Yeah. There was all
it's
sorts
the
of
king's
stuff like that.
Sand. It's
there
the
was cat. A...
And how much is there?
Forest,
is there enough that if everybody grabbed a handful, you'd notice it?
They probably would never say that. They'd be like, if everybody took sand, there would be no more sand. Because they say that kind of stuff at Petrified National Forest, too. In fact, when you get into Petrified, I guess it's – I don't know if it's – it's Petrified Forest National Park, I think is what it's called.
Is that Utah or New Mexico?
That's in Arizona. And when you go in and you pass the little kiosk or whatever, he gives you a pamphlet or a little green square rectangle sheet that's basically a snitch form. It says, if you see anybody doing these things, you know, stepping on the ruins, picking up a rock – go to the back and fill out the information. It's like, what were they wearing? What did they look like? What was their car? What was their license plate?
God.
It was literally a snitch form that they give to everybody that walks into the park. And then they have these like scary signs everywhere that says, is it worth it? You could lose all this money if you steal a rock. And they have a sign that says inspection point, car inspection imminent, or something to that effect when you're driving to the exit. But this was the thing with all the inspections, because we had to go through a couple different inspections. All of them were like, we got through because the worker was just like lazy or busy. Like we go through the inspection point at Petrified Forest, and she's like wiping food from her mouth, like she's still chewing like part of a sandwich or something. And she's like, did you take anything, any specimens from the park? And we're like, no. And she's like, all right, go on. And she like wiped her mouth with a napkin again.
I was always kind of amused by fruit inspections at state borders.
Yeah.
I remember when my band Bomb was coming back from Oregon into California one time, they said, do you have any fruit? And they all pointed at me and said, only ham.
Yeah. We actually did. We tried our hardest not to go through any border patrol checkpoints. But for some reason we did right outside of White Sands. For some reason, I thought it was far enough away and off of the main path that there wouldn't be a border inspection, but there was. And we were like, oh shit, they're going to harass us. But we just drove through and he said, he was wearing like a bulletproof vest and he looked pretty militaried out. And he was all like, Are you American citizens? That was the only question he asked us. Are you American citizens? We said, yep. And he said, go on.
Did you have to show your pet inspection anywhere?
My pet inspection?
Didn't you have to get some papers so you could stay at the pet-friendly places?
Yeah, but that's not government involved at all. That's
Did they ask for them is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Every place we boarded the dog, we had to show him the shot records for our dog.
Were those people wearing bulletproof vests at the hotel? That's an intimidation thing, man. It really is. It's like –
it's like, you can't shoot me.
Do those people really need bulletproof vests? And, you know, like a lot of times cops will wear camo and stuff. And it's like, yeah. Ben Quaker pointed that out. It's like, it's part of the raise your body, your blood temperature factor, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be
more afraid.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
That should be America's motto now. America, yeah. Be more afraid.
Yeah. Well, I've said that in multiple casts. Yeah. That's the main driving force is be more afraid. The thing that struck me, though, through these two inspections is maybe this is the saving grace. Maybe America can't have a giant totalitarian police state because the enforcers would just be too lazy. They'd just be like, I'm on my lunch break. You can go ahead and go through. Whatever.
Yeah, but that's funny.
I'm too busy checking my Facebook.
But, you know, but you know, there's always one Boy Scout that really wants to impress his.
Yeah.
You know, something just happened that's never happened on the cast was like, I flaked out about something you've already said. Like, wouldn't it be cool if people said, and you're like, I've said that on several casts. You know, you've done it several times, but I like that you indulge, shall we say, because it makes you as senile as me and I don't feel old. You know, there's a new thing that Ben said she and Kai are going to start doing on their podcast when she starts casting again with him. Uh-huh. She's like out running around with Renfair right now in some other state, but a lot of times now when she'll say like, "Oh, Dad, have you seen this? You ever heard of this movie?" And he's like, "No," and she's like, "Okay, Nima."
What? Oh, because it's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll say it to her when she's never heard of some pop culture thing. You know, nice. Hey, Kai, check this out. This drummer sounds just like Ginger Baker. What? What are you saying, old man? Who?
Yeah, yeah. Ben Stone got on to me for not knowing, what was it, Robert Johnson, the old blues
singer?
That
was me. I got on you for that.
We had a whole cast on it. Ben Stone did it too.
Okay, I was like, you don't remember that was me? All right.
Yeah.
All right,
I was listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin, though, and I think you're totally right. Guy in Led Zeppelin tries to sound just like him.
That's a fact. I mean, that's not my opinion. That's there's whole websites devoted to not only that Led Zeppelin is influenced by several of the blues masters, but they literally ripped off lyrics and melodies and chord progressions and called the songs their own and got the money for them. Like Robert Johnson or somebody's like widow or granddaughter or something sued Led Zeppelin successfully because they took like, I think it was the Lemon Song. It was one of their songs that like it was the words and music of this old blues master. And they not only didn't pay him for it, but they claimed they wrote it. Like it said, you know, by Plant, Page, Bonham and Jones, you know, like,
I don't know. How do you feel about that from a libertarian standpoint, though?
I feel put the copyright aside for a second. I don't like that they put all their names on it and didn't put the name of the guy who wrote it. I could see them putting all their names in his name, but I think plagiarism is a real moral crime, whereas, you know, IP doesn't exist in my mind.
Yeah, I suppose if they would have said something like melody and structure inspired by so and so or referenced from, I don't think there would have been any.
Yeah, but it was literally a cover of the song. I mean, a lot of times they reference stuff, but this was the song, the Lemon Song by Robert Johnson or whoever wrote it. You know, words and music by someone else, and then they Led Zeppelinified it. But also, the way I feel about it is if you're working in a system like Led Zeppelin were, where there are copyrights, and Led Zeppelin were really persnickety about it too. Like they were upset about bootleg vinyl records coming out of their live shows. They hated it, and they prosecuted it with lawyers.
Really?
I feel like if you're in that system, it's really cheesy not to, you know, help the old poor black lady living in a studio apartment somewhere when you're flying around the world in private jets and, you know, bashing 5-star hotel rooms. I think it was bad form. I think they should have thrown her some money without having to get sued.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
You know, I mean, really, I think
there's nothing wrong with stealing chord progressions, though. I mean, a chord progression, those are common. I mean, you can look them up on Wikipedia and
no
1-4-5-1.
But it's like, the song. You know the difference between the same chord progression and the same song, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, and you wouldn't probably get upset about this, like other people do, but if somebody wrote a song called I Own Me that had all your lyrics and had, you know, the same beat and the same chord progression and said they wrote it, you'd notice.
Yeah, I'd notice.
You wouldn't sue them, but you'd notice. Would you be upset?
Yeah, I'd be upset. I'd call it fraud and say, hey, I wrote this, and then I'd probably make a diss song about how
that's what this was. This was fraud. You know, in a libertarian paradise, I believe that taking someone's entire work and publishing it as your own would be fraud.
Yeah. Although it almost becomes a sticky situation because how do you prove that they didn't come up with it independently of you? That's theoretically possible, isn't it?
Yeah, but Led Zeppelin also had given tons of interviews where they talked about who influenced them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not defending the little old lady that sued Led Zeppelin, but I think Led Zeppelin should have been cool about it and done it before anything ever got involved. I think they should have put their four names and the guy's name who wrote it and then found his relatives and given them the money.
Yeah.
And giving them some money,
That's fair to say.
Led Zeppelin should have started a home for elderly bluesmen. Really, like the debt that they owed they ripped off the blues, ripped it off, and did something cool with it that hadn't been done. But you know, I mean, Stairway to Heaven. There's a song that's like Stairway to. You got to go look on YouTube at the comparison videos. There's dozens of them out there where they have like 20 seconds of the Led Zeppelin song, 20 seconds of the Robert Johnson song, 20 seconds of the Led Zeppelin song, 20 seconds of the Phil Ochs song, 20 seconds of the Led Zeppelin song, 20 seconds of the B.B. King song, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same song, man.
Yeah. And I guess I kind of feel like, you know, what I'm going to do with my album is I might sample a few things.
That's different.
And well, you know, I'll explain that I sampled them in the notes, and I don't have any money to clear the sample because I don't know if I'm going to make any money or enough money to do that. But what I would do is, if I did somehow become some kind of superstar or millionaire ever on this kind of thing, if you do that, then at that point you can go back and say, hey, yeah, I did sample you. If you
you wouldn't have like to. They'd find you, man.
They would. But you know, I kind of feel like even if they didn't, I wouldn't be opposed to saying, yeah, I feel like this added this percentage of amount to this song, which added this percentage of amount to the album, so you can have this chunk of money if you'd like.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
There have actually been lawsuits, kind of famous ones. The Beastie Boys were in one where they have this song called Flute Loop. Do you know that song? It's it's got a loop from some 60s jazz record that's, you know, like eight notes of a flute or something, and they sampled it, and they got contacted by the people who put the record out, and they said, "We'll give you $500," and the people were like, "Cool," and they sent them $500, and then you know that record it was on became a hit, and they came back and said, "But we want more. I know we agreed to $500, but
What did the Beastie Boys do? Do you know? Did they give them more, or did they say no?"
Probably. Their lawyer probably told them to give them more, so the record company probably gave them more and then charged the Beastie Boys for it. That's how that kind of works, because, you know, at that point, they kind of own your stuff in that world.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I just feel like the whole, and we've talked about this before, but it is pretty obvious how the whole IP thing does limit creativity. And you can say, yeah, we'll just play your own notes, play your own music, write your own melodies. And it's like, yeah, I do that sometimes, but there's a certain feel to certain recordings, not just the notes, but certain recordings. And sometimes if you want
to like the room it was recorded in, you know, the mic it was recorded in. You know, I've heard people say like, why is it that old condenser mic or tube condenser mics from the 60s and 50s sound so much better than the ones now, and they're really coveted, and they sell for $20,000 if you can find them. And I heard someone say it's because people used to smoke in studios back then, and the element is all caked with nicotine that makes it sound better.
Nice. It's like breaking in a new tobacco pipe. You get a nice layer of carbon over the element.
You know, technically, like, it should be the opposite. Like, you know, you don't want to smoke around a mic. When you buy mics on eBay, a lot of times they'll say, you know, this is a used mic, but it was used in a smoke-free studio. You ever seen that in listings? Like, you know, and that's partly because people believe that the element will sound better if it's never been smoked around. And a main thing is, if a mic's been used by a smoker and drinker, it smells like beer and stale cigarettes. Like when you start speaking, and it doesn't when you first pick it up and sniff it, but then once you're singing into it or rapping into it or talking into it, you warm it up, and then it like starts kicking back the previous owner's breath to you. It's really disgusting. I never buy mics used for that reason. That's new news you can use.
There you go. unless you want to buy a mic of a famous person because you want to smell their breath.
Yep. So wait, you're searching Facebook for my page and to look at this Moson Nagant picture, and you're finding another Michael Dean? You mean you don't have my Facebook as your start page on the internet?
No, I don't. I found a Michael W. Dean who lives in Norfolk, Virginia, who's from Toledo, Ohio.
Wait, maybe it works differently in Texas. It's like looking at your local IP. And so we have a virtual private network named Bola VPN as a sponsor now. And after we get off, I'm going to walk you through setting it up, and you get to try it out. It's fun.
Oh, sweet.
And then we'll do a longer review on the Live Fiends.
Okay, okay.
We're recording
and
now.
What exactly would somebody use a virtual private server for?
Couple things. Surfing the web anonymously. Now, if you're logged into your Google account, Google's still going to know that you searched for grandma porn. But if you just don't want the central scrutinizer to know what you're searching, if you use a VPN, it's a VPN like with proxies. So like you can pick what country you're surfing from, and it works. Yeah. Like I've used it, and there's, you know, I go on like the Live Freedom Fiends stats, and I look at Freedom Fiends, and it's like, you know, as soon as I go on a little, you know, no matter who else is searching and where they are on the maps, like it pops up like Luxembourg, like it's where I'm looking at it from. So, it gives you more privacy, you know, makes it harder for the man to mess with you, basically hides what you do on the internet.
Awesome.
It's good. It's good. I highly recommend it. Bola VPN. And there's a little link on the right side of the Freedom Fiends to go there and get it. And it's reasonable. It's like 25 cents a day.
I wonder why they didn't bring it into the 21st century and name it E like everything else. So it could be Ebola.
know, That's like horrible. Email. They're actually in like Indonesia or somewhere like that. It means something in the local language to the effect of like, yes, I can. Or not yes, I can. Like can do.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's a cool name. They've been around for years too. So they're good.
Nice.
Yep. Check out Bola VPN.
Bola.
B-O-L-E-H VPN.
Yeah, smokeabola.
Smokeabola. B BOLEHVPN.net.
Sweet.
But going through our affiliate link on the Freedom Fiend site.
I'm so glad it appears our air conditioning is now fixed.
Turn up a little bit. Turn your mic up a little bit, man.
Turn my mic up a little bit? Should I just talk closer to it?
Yeah, there you go. So you were without air conditioning?
Yeah. When we got back, the first place we stayed was, of course, my father-in-law's house, like I said at the beginning of the cast. His AC was broken. So after our trek through Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada in 100-plus degree weather, we come to a place with no AC. So wasn't as comfortable as I would like, but like I said earlier, all you got to do is drink a bunch of water and you're fine. So,
well, you know, a lot of Texas,
it is nice to have the cold air blowing.
I'll bet. A lot of Texas prisons don't have air conditioning, and people have been suing it. You know, prisoners have been doing class actions against the state, and the state's basically like, hey, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. That's how Texas is, man.
I know. And I've always hated that sentiment. Don't want to do the crime, or don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. But it's, a lot of those things aren't real crimes.
Yeah. So, and, you know, Texas's anti-littering motto is don't mess with Texas, but they display it on signs all around the state. And it's like, it's in big lettering, and you see that before you see the fine for littering thing. It just sounds like, do what we say.
Yeah. Are you talking about don't mess with Texas?
Yeah,
that's everywhere. Although I got to give them credit. It's actually pretty catchy. As far as state mottos go, I think it's way better than something like click it or ticket.
I don't know, man. As state mottos go, I think I prefer live free or die to don't mess with the state.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Wyoming is the equality state. You know, why don't you have equality to not have to abide with nanny laws.
Yeah. How come my desire to smoke pot isn't equal to your desire to go to church?
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So despite all the tyranny of Texas that we've been talking about.
I did want to, while we're on mottos and anti-littering, you know, not that I agree with nanny laws, but there was a pretty funny one in New Mexico that I thought that was the only anti-littering thing that rivals don't mess with Texas. Because in Washington, it was really lame. In Washington state, it was like litter and it will hurt. And I was like, really?
We'll hurt
That's
you.
That's not very catchy.
Where was that? It is a bad motto.
That was in Washington State. It's litter or it will hurt.
Texas's one is more catchy by far and scarier.
Texas is don't mess with Texas. In New Mexico, it was great. It was toss no mas.
Spanish?
Yeah, because it's in Spanish. So don't toss anymore. Toss no mas.
Yeah. And it's assuming that everyone's already been tossing too.
Yeah, it's true. But I thought it was funny. Toss no moss. So you were getting back to saying
I'm looking up the anti-litter state slogans now. Let's see what else we got.
Oh, we're going to try to find all of them?
Yeah, anti-litter state slogans. you can do it. We'll come back to this. I'll find some.
New Mexico also had really silly things called – and I'm guessing other states have this too. But New Mexico was pretty status from the first time we crossed into it. There was something called a safety corridor, which means they double all traffic fines while you're in this quote-unquote safety corridor. And it's like a 20-mile stretch. And they're like, all the fines will be double for now. And I couldn't figure out what the point of that was. I'm not sure if they make sure the cops all go there so they can double their winnings, or if they just know that cops aren't going to be there, so they're trying to scare you into compliance. But that was pretty status. New Mexico was all of New Mexico that we passed through was really obsessed with DWI. There are billboards everywhere. Don't do a DWI. One drink is too much. All sorts of things about that. Even checkpoints. When we first got in before the safety corridor, there was a thing about how there were DUI checkpoints. You know, I'm guessing where they have cops coming and they just check everybody. You know, there was a sign that I didn't get to experience it, so I don't know if maybe that's an old thing or a new thing or what's going on with it. But that was pretty status.
I just sent you an email. It's all the state slogans. I think we should read through these and comment on them. While you find
are
that
funny ones?
Yeah, they really are. While you find that, I just want to check in with, like, despite all this Texas stuff, police state, you know, drone state, drone star state stuff we've been talking about.
Drone star state.
You feel like you're home, don't you? Don't you feel like Nima's finally where he should be and his wife's finally where she should be?
Yeah.
And Nima and his wife are finally where they should be.
I do totally, which is another reason why government services shouldn't be stuck on a specific geographical location. Why can't I live in Texas and be free? That's ridiculous. Why? I mean, I just want to sit here and do my thing and get to live in the hill country, which I find beautiful, and eat delicious food, which the food here in Austin is so much better than anywhere I've ever lived. So I want to eat my damn Torchy's taco and do whatever the hell I want to do, as long as I'm not hurting anybody. Tell the state to just butt out.
Cool. I wanted to mention that Nima's using – we're using the mumbles today. We're not using our usual setup because it's still in the pod that you're waiting for. So that's why we don't sound quite as good today.
Yeah, yeah. Most of my recording gear is – I don't know. U-Haul has it somewhere. Hopefully it's en route to me. If not, they owe me some money because I insured it. But still waiting on my delivery from U-Haul.
So I'm reading these state mottos. The funniest one, District of Columbia, on their license plate says, "Taxation without representation."
Like, why does it say that?
They didn't even put the full quote, you know, "Taxation without representation is tyranny," or whatever it does. It says on their license plate, that can't be right, is it? Their license plates say "taxation without representation."
I don't know. Well, maybe it's a jab at the system, because doesn't the District of Columbia, they don't have a congressman.
I'm looking. Oh, it is. You're right. You're right. I'm looking at them. It does say that. That's really bizarre. It's weird to lobby for something on a license plate.
That's really weird. Yeah.
Wow. But, you know, I would.
Because
I would,
usually on your license plate, it's like something about your area that you're proud of.
Yeah.
The Utah license plate used to say the greatest snow on earth. Like, come ski here.
Yeah. Delaware
says, come live here and you won't have a representative in Congress, but you'll still have to pay the taxes.
Yeah. Which, you know, I never got the taxation with representation thing as being a great thing anyway. But, you know, it's so weird that the statists put a thing on like, we want to be a state so we can be statist. More statist.
Right.
So we can steal some of the money in our direction. Yeah, like, you know, Alabama's is share the wonder. Alaska, beyond your dreams. Arizona, the Grand Canyon state. And DC's is like, give us money, bitches.
Kansas is pretty hilarious. Kansas, as big as you think. That's pretty unassuming. It is what it is. It's Kansas. Fuck.
California's find yourself here. That sounds like masturbatory to me. But, you know, it kind of is. California is
Hold on. Look at Maryland. Seize the day off.
Formerly America in miniature.
But how statist is that? It's like seize, which sort of means to steal the day off. So seize your leisure.
It's grab your leisure. Enjoy your leisure.
Grab your leisure.
That's still a wimpy, weird one.
It's Maryland, so it feels like they're saying steal from people so you can have the day off.
Some of these are really good if you're going to write slogans for a state, you know, for an area, for an area. Like Mississippi feels like coming home. Huh? Massachusetts, make it yours. That's not really what they're we'll make yours ours should be their logo. Nebraska, the good wife. That'd be Utah. You could have more than one. New Jersey, we'll win you over unless you're carrying a gun. Then we'll put you in prison.
Yeah.
New Mexico's is land of enchantment, and everyone there jokes that it's really land of entrapment.
Nice. Yeah, I could see that.
Ohio, birthplace of aviation. Oregon. Oregon is we love dreamers. That doesn't sound very productive.
And Virginia is for lovers. I don't really get that one.
Yeah. You know, if California's had Oregon's logo, they'd really get criticized for it. If California's logo was we love dreamers, it'd be like directions to the welfare office.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, Washington's new one is say wah.
Say wah.
With an exclamation point, like WA, the postal abbreviation for Washington. Why would I say wah? I don't know what situation I would ever say wah in, unless like you were like, hey.
Wyoming is like no place on earth. That's true. It's like the moon with sagebrush. Wisconsin's used to be America's Dairyland, but now it's stay just a little bit longer. That sounds like they're begging.
Speaking of the moon, I almost got to a point where I was going to tell people that I was from the moon. If you're ever on vacation through this area, people are always asking you where you're from. They're like, oh, where, they hear your name, Nima Vedad. Oh, where are you from? And I always say something like Salt Lake or Texas. And they're like, oh, no, but originally. I'm like, originally, I'm from Salt Lake. Yeah, they think I'm supposed to like say Iran or Erdoganar or Tehran or some foreign country. And then really? I tell them, well, my dad's from Iran. And then they start talking about all these people they know from Iran and what's it like
they just
there.
Want to
I'm
share.
Not from there, man.
They just want to share. What's it like there? I don't know. If I go there, they'll throw me in the army.
Yeah. Ask somebody who's from there. I'm not from there just because my name. Yeah, they did it with my wife too because her last name is hyphenated. So it's Romanowski Vedati. And they're like, oh, half Russian, half Italian. She's like, no, it's – the name is actually Polish and Iranian. And they're like, oh, well, so what's Poland like? Why'd you come over from Poland? I'm not from Poland. I don't know what it is. I guess it's traveling and maybe they're used to getting a lot of international travelers. But
now, these are people that like workplaces where people
yeah,
are going
yeah,
through?
Yeah,
okay.
The cashier at the grocery store in Grand Canyon was really bad about it and really awkward about it too. And some people in Vegas who were trying to steal – not trying to steal money but lying to us about trying to scam us. They were asking dumb questions like that too.
I remember the drummer in Bomb when we traveled. Like he'd never really been much out of San Francisco. A lot of people from there have been like San Francisco, LA, and Nevada, and that's it for their whole life. And you know, yeah. We went on tour, and he saw these places he'd never seen, and he had a pretty low opinion of rednecks. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of a like prejudice against them, and. I remember him saying something that I thought was actually kind of like made a lot of sense was we were in some tiny cow town somewhere. And he was like, you know, if I grew up in a place like this, I'd either work at a gas station or a restaurant so I could talk to people from other places.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I could see that. The thing is with like national parks and all these sort of federal things, it's weird because they're all contracted out. I think it's usually one company called Xanterra. No, that's not true because Lake Powell was a different company called Aramark. But they contracted out to these things. So it's kind of like this pseudo public private partnership. But it seems like all the workers they bring in on some kind of exchange program, or I don't know if they're foreign students, but always on the name tag, it'll say their name and where they're from. And at least half of the time, it's foreign. It's like the guy who rented us our boat in Lake Powell was from Kyrgyzstan, which I never in my life met anybody from Kyrgyzstan.
Do you think that was some government jobs program for immigrants? Like,
I'm not sure. I'd like to look into it more. I wonder if it's an exchange program, like you can come over and live in America for we'll pay your room and rent.
I know that in D.C. there are a lot of Vietnamese small business owners, and it's because after the Vietnam War, America brought a bunch of refugees here and gave them all like no interest loans, and a lot of white America First people got really upset about it. Like, I lived here my whole life and I can't do that. But regardless, either way, I'm just wondering like if that was some kind of program, if there's an inordinate number of people running the travel facilities who are from different country.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or if it's from the local colleges. I think there's some kind of local college near some of those places, and maybe they're foreign students, or I guess they call them international students to be more PC. You know, people who come over to study and then get their summer job at the national parks. Not really sure what it is, so I don't want to comment too much on it. But it was something I did notice, and so maybe that's where it comes from too, is there's more of an international feel sometimes at those tourist stops. So maybe they hear that name and they assume, oh, Vedati, you must be actually from Iran. But no. In America, we all have very diverse last names. It doesn't mean we're from Italy. If we have an Italian last name, we could be from New Jersey.
So Texas used to have Don't Mess with Texas on their license plates, right?
Maybe. I don't remember. Now it just says the Lone Star State and has like a space shuttle and some stars.
A space shuttle and a cowboy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, a cowboy lassoing the space shuttle. it says that Texas's motto is now, it's like a whole other country. That's kind of secessionist, country? And I think that's referring to the fact that they were a republic for about 6 minutes.
It was like 10 years, wasn't it? 10,
yeah, but,
years?
You know, in the long run of things.
Yeah, I kind of fantasize about I really love Roswell, Roswell, Texas, the book by L. Neil Smith.
Yeah.
Helps you to fantasize about what would happen if Texas stayed its own country and was actually a free type of area, you know.
Well, really, it's like
almost an anarchist
paradise. The whole premise of it is like if they'd won at the Alamo, and even more specific than that, like if Davy Crockett had made this one rifle shot, it would have made everything different. You know, kind of like if the butterfly flaps its wings, but more direct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so basically in it, not only does Texas win the Alamo, but it also doesn't join the Union, so it stays its own. Davy Crockett is obviously still alive because he made that amazing rifle shot and didn't die like he really did at the Alamo. And because, I guess, in part because of his libertarian bent, Texas moves in the direction of being a free place. Like, you actually have to have a permit to not carry a gun, and the only character in the graphic novel that ever has one of those permits is Lyndon Johnson, who has a special permit to not carry a gun.
Did you know that Davy Crockett was a congressman?
Yeah, and then he left. He basically said, screw you guys, I'm going to Texas.
He said, in Congress, to Congress, you can go to hell, I'm going to Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, how does like that independent spirit evolve into, you know, don't fuck with us or we'll throw you in prison and give you the electric chair for having one pot seed, you know? It is somehow evolved from that, I think, but it got corrupted at some point.
It's nannyism. I think it's almost inevitable in the sense that you say, you know, a democracy fails when people realize they can vote money for themselves.
Yeah.
There's some of that at play, but I think there's also democracy fails when people realize they can use the legislature to shape society into the way they want it to look. So all sorts of special interest groups, whether it's soccer moms or whoever, they get together and they petition the state and they get what they want. So all the drug warriors get these sort of draconian drug measures. I mean, there's not even medical marijuana in Texas. I don't think there ever will be.
Yeah, there's signs all over Wyoming right now. You know, like they have the flashing temporary street signs that say no fireworks this year, $750 fine because it's been so dry. And I'm thinking like, why can't people just know that when it's really dry, you shouldn't do fireworks, you know? Like, patriotism, burn down your neighborhood. But
well, that sort of brings up a status canard. They would say something, well, like, without a government, people would just do fireworks, and then your neighbor's house would burn down because of your irresponsibility.
No, they wouldn't. And, you know, I got to say,
well, here's my thing, is if they did, because they might. That's – we don't pretend to have a utopian paradise if you have the lack of a state, but then that person would be responsible for it, so there'd be an incentive for him not to burn down his neighbor's house. If he did it, he'd have to pay for that whole neighbor's house himself. In our current system, the judge might order him to pay some restitution, but damned if he's ever actually going to pay it. He's probably going to go to jail for a little bit, might serve some time, but the more of his debt will be pushed towards the state than it will towards the actual victim, the person whose house burned down.
And, you know, I got to go back to the softer tyrannies things. Like, Wyoming thinks a $750 fine is a really serious fine. I mean, and that was the fine before they made it legal to conceal carry a gun without a permit. That was what they did to you if you were caught carrying a concealed gun without a permit, compared to like California, like a year in prison. And, you know, like, isn't the littering fine in Texas like $3,000 or something?
It might be up to something like that. Yeah, I doubt if they actually charge you that. When I was in some other state, it said littering up to $2,000 fine. But I mean, I guess that's at the discretion of a judge or whoever. So,
yep.
I don't know if you'd actually litter and get a $3,000 fine here in Texas. It depends on the judge. Depends on where you're at.
So we got a couple minutes left. I'd like to just have you praise Texas. Sing the beauty of Texas, because you're there and you're home, man.
Yeah.
Not the state of Texas, the geographical region and the people.
Ah, it does feel like home. You know,
what would your motto be for Texas if you were writing the motto? Get off my property.
I don't know. I guess it just feels good.
It feels good.
You drive in and you know, the humidity is the first thing you notice when you get into Austin.
You
drive through West Texas. Well, it feels like home. Like you said earlier, don't you feel like you're at home? I was coming from New Mexico and West Texas, and it's dry, and my feet – I have really dry skin. So like when I'm in dry areas, my feet actually start to bleed. Like they get cracked and you can see the blood coming out of them. So it really, it literally wow. hurts me to be in places that aren't like Texas.
Do you goo yourself with, give your wife rub lotion?
Sometimes. Yeah.
That's what I call it. I'm like, DJ, can you goo my back?
And we got here and the next thing is, living in Austin, it's just the food. You know, there's so many amazing places to eat here. And the Mexican food, to me, it tastes like it should. You know, I lived in
there is no good Mexican food in Wyoming, man.
No good Mexican food in Wyoming. I lived in a part of Washington that actually the county I lived in has a majority of Hispanic people living in it. It's like more than the number of white people, I believe. And so it's supposed to have this great Mexican food, but to me, it didn't really click. It was more like California-type Mexican food. I like some good Tex-Mex. And so the other thing in Texas is the food. And then just, you know, despite the state, I feel like Texans have a really good mix of hospitality. You know, the actual people themselves, they're very, very friendly, very generous. You know, you'll always get a smile and a head nod when you're walking by somebody. And pretty much a live-or-let-live kind of attitude. You know, when it's not involving the government, most people are like, yeah, I mean, as long as it's on their property or whatever. There is a very good live and let live attitude, at least here with the people I've experienced in Austin and down south in Houston too. And the nature too. You know, it's not like you have these stark landscapes like Teton in Wyoming. But we went and stopped off and did the Green Belt. We went down to Bull Creek and it's just nothing but lush greenery and a creek that you can actually swim in and not feel cold at all. Like you jump into the creek and it's like body temperature. It's like room temperature. It just feels perfect. And the creek bed is like cliff. It's like God paved it for you. It's like God paved this personal swimming pool for you, but it's all natural right in the heart of the hill country. And sitting there with a Fireman's Four, which is my favorite beer in Texas, that and maybe Shiner Bock as a close second. It's just nothing finer. Nothing finer.
Excellent, man. Well, it's good to have you back. I missed you.
Yeah,
The fiends missed you.
It's good to be back. And, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping to actually just spend time doing my own thing. And that should include a lot of the fiends. You know, I'm not sure if I want to get another day job. You know, I kind of feel like I have a cousin in Utah and he's got a few different side hustles. And he basically said, you know, jobs are for suckers. You know, I mean, if you have to get a job, you get one. But
Nima Vidati says jobs are for suckers. Your own,
why not do maybe it? I'm not saying don't work. I'm just saying try to work for myself, right?
Maybe you could get a job lecturing at local high schools, telling the kids that jobs are for suckers.
Maybe. Lord knows they need it.
All right, man.
I don't know. I'll do some hot side hustles, and hopefully you'll see a lot more of me on The Fiends, and hopefully we can build The Fiends, grow The Fiends a little bit more, maybe more casts, maybe different types of content. We'll
video,
see where it goes.
Fiends meetup groups in various cities.
Video, who knows? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed
I could never organize Fiends meetup groups. I don't like herding cats, but if anyone wants to do it, they're welcome to do it.
Well, that's what it is. We fiend source it, right? If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah, show guns and weed at your local Rotary Club and have a discussion.
And any fellow Liberty lovers in Austin, which I also thank my lucky stars that I'm, you know, my lucky stars over Texas, at least, that I'm in Austin now where there is a vibrant Liberty community. You know, Tri-Cities, Washington, there really wasn't much of one. And in Wyoming, there was you, which is amazing. But, I mean,
I am not the Liberty movement in Wyoming. There is more than me.
There's more than you, but, I mean,
but we're all 4 hours away from we're all 4 hours away from each other, man.
That's the thing about Wyoming, yeah, is everybody's really far away. Here in Austin, you know, you got this beautiful central location where – and that kind of contradicts me earlier where geography doesn't matter, but it is nice to meet with people face-to-face too.
Worms.
Anything else you got to say, Michael?
No. That's about it.
All right. Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. Permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.